Welcome to Christ Today. Lord, in the midst of this celebration of freedom on July 4th, guide us, Lord, so that we may follow you on our path to freedom in Christ Jesus, and also so that we can remain free as people and as a people or a country. Lord, thank you for the blessings that we have. Over and over again, we have blessings. If we look at the world, we say, wow, what a wonderful place we live. And we do. Lord, thank you for putting us here now. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Well, we know that the world is not always sunshine and roses. Sometimes there is darkness, and there is a people who want to pursue that which is ungodly, unrighteous. And Lord, this is the path to hell, and we know it. So we ask for people to be saved out of the path to hell because we care about the eternal life of the people. So we pray for that in Jesus' name. Well, let us all live a righteous and holy life and seek God, Jesus Christ. And the Bible helps us do that. Lord, thank you for your direction and your guidance as we go through life. And in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, today's going to be kind of an experiment because I have some things on my mind, but I'm not sure I have an order to them. So I'm just going to be talking a bunch and see how it works. Of course, July 4th is approaching, and I think about America. What a wonderful place to be. And of course, it doesn't mean it's perfect. We have a lot of struggle to have righteousness in America because there are two sides that are having a battle. It is the side of light and the side of darkness. And we have people who want the freedom to sin and to have self-indulgence, and this happens everywhere in our country. Why, we all want what we want, and sometimes we don't think about God, and sometimes we don't think about other people, and all we do is want what we want. So God, help us. We have people around us who are willing to do all sorts of things that are ungodly, unholy, uncareful. And a part of that is going on right now. We see in our government that is going on at the highest levels of our three-letter agencies. We have trouble. Why, even in the executive branch, we have a fellow by the name of Biden, and we have his son, and they are showing, or the opposition is showing, that there have been texts which talk about money laundering and bribery and conspiracy and even treason on the part of the highest levels of United States government. What are we going to do about that? Well, of course we pray, but sometimes it is time for an action. And that action begins with talking to people or writing letters or having the legislative branch be informed so they can do what is appropriate for them to do. It's not for us to do. We, the people, certainly have a role to play, but I don't mean it is to be active. After all, we don't want anything to do with revolution. Now we can change the form of government, and that our Constitution allows us to do. But we must be very careful that we do things according to our Constitution that we were formed under. Now we have some guidelines in life, and a part of that is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which are very, very important. Now I even think the Bill of Rights are the right about as important as the Constitution, the way I see it. But everybody has their own opinion, and we discuss things. Because after all, we are gentlemen, and we do things with care and compassion. And still, we are aware of what is around us. We see that the Bible tells us some of the things that are going to happen. I think Matthew chapter 24 is a good example of what is described at the end of the age. Wars, rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, and more. But the thing is we need to be aware that some difficult times are coming. And what do we do? Do we just live through them? Or for that matter, die through them? I don't know, but I know there's a lot of people who say, if this is the way it's going to be, I don't want to even live. I know lots of people like that. They say they don't want to have the poverty that chapter 24 of Matthew describes. So they're all ready to go with the Lord. And I say, okay, maybe that's you. But there are people who understand that we are here for a purpose, and our purpose, the way I see it, is to talk about the kingdom of God, which is to be faithful to God Jesus. And how do we do that? A part of that is preaching, communicating, talking about the good news of the Bible of Jesus Christ. And, of course, I think about other parts of the Bible, like Revelation chapter 18, where it talks about Babylon the Great. Babylon the Great, is that us? Well, there are some real definite opinions on that one. People who say, no, we are not. Babylon the Great is a different time and a different place. And I'd say that there is perhaps, or probably, or I'm pretty sure, that there are parallels. And we can say that America fits into the parallels of Revelation chapter 18. And therefore, will we have the same kind of a judgment? It's possible, or it's likely. Well, study it out and see what you think. I have an idea, and I think it's good for all of us to have enough of an understanding to not just discuss it, but even have an argument about it so that we can argue our points of view. It doesn't mean they're right or I'm right. It just means we're having a good discussion. So yeah, let's do that, and recognize that Revelation chapter 18 includes the destruction of Mystery Babylon in a day. Actually, it's in 1 hour, and we can see how today a country can be destroyed in 1 hour. And we have the nations around the world talking about nuclear war. That would be destruction within 1 hour. You know that the missiles, and including the intercontinental ballistic missiles, they go from one country to another in about 45 minutes. So, when you think of Revelation 18 about destruction within 1 hour, a nuclear weapon is fired and then lands within 1 hour. And it's just pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Now, we have July 4th coming up. And, oh, Lord, thank you for this country. Thank you for the beauty of it. I love to look at the land that you have made, Lord. And I love to enjoy the freedom that we have. Such liberty is wonderful and amazing. And I am so thankful to be in the United States of America. And I recognize that this country does stand for freedom. And it stands for freedom all around the world. It has fought wars so that other people may be free. And it begins with Well, I'll just go back to George Washington and Valley Forge and see how people were willing to sacrifice in order to be free. Before that, a few hundred years, there was Christopher Columbus, as it found America. I know, he didn't really find America, but he put it on the map so that we could see where the Americas are. North America, South America, some of the other islands like Cuba and other ones. They were just wonderful things to discover and to make available for people to come to. So that was the 1600s, and we are grateful for our history that includes the pilgrims coming to America in the 1620s, or however that was. There is a history of America that we are thankful for. Let me go back just a little bit. When Squanto was kidnapped by the Englishmen who came to America in 1614, they captured Squanto, the Native American, and then they sold him into slavery. And there were Spanish priests who bought the freedom of Squanto. And Squanto went to England and found a ship back to America because he wanted to find his people. But when he arrived in America, his people were all gone. They had died off for some reason, unknown reason. But the land where his tribe had lived was empty. And then the pilgrims came over, and they were looking for a piece of land that they could settle onto. And they found the land where Squanto's people had been. They asked the chiefs around that land if it belonged to them. And the chief said, no, it did not. The people were gone. And so the pilgrims settled there. And then along came Squanto. Amazingly, he knew how to plant a crop, and he knew about the land, and he spoke English. And the pilgrims spoke English too. What an amazing God story that was. Only God could have put that together, and God did put it together for the love of people and the advancement of America. It was an amazing history. We have some amazing history in the Americas, and a part of it is, well, it's just difficult. It's even wrong. It's even immoral. But it still happened, and we can be grateful for the good history that we have, for the American strength, for the Christian founders of America who wanted to spread the good news of the gospel. And if you read their writing, that is exactly what they wanted. They wanted to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to other lands, to other peoples. But we don't always hear about that. We hear about the evils of our founding fathers. And there were a few. And just like today, we have people who are kind and decent people, and we have people who really would take advantage of anyone and take whatever they wanted, whatever they had. People are people today, just like they were in the 1600s. In the 1700s. So we have both kinds of people, and we want to associate with the good people. So that's a lesson for life today. And sometimes, even in church, the people are not who you want to be around. But sometimes they are just the most wonderful, caring people that there are in the body of Christ. Yes, a church body. But we must always be careful and know that we want to associate with the people that are Christ-like. And that means we want to be Christ-like with the love of other people. And that is using wise compassion, because just plain old compassion, or let's call it love, given out freely, does not always do people good. And we want to do people good. And that means we have to have that godly wisdom inside of us. And the best way that I know to get that is to read the Bible, to put the Bible inside of us, inside of our thoughts, and inside of what we consider about what's going on around us. Now, there's plenty of people who find fault with everything. That's been in history, and that is today still. There are people who find fault with their neighbors, who find fault with their leaders. And yes, that's okay, but we do have to be careful about judging other people on what basis we do that. I do believe we are called upon to judge people, but not their eternal destiny. So we look at the imperfection and the good qualities of men, and we associate ourselves with those people who we want to be in a community with. I think that's just what we do. So there are mysteries in the founding of our country, that is for sure. When I think about looking back and, well, I think about, for instance, the mound builders of the Central Americas, the central part of the United States of America. For instance, Indiana. For instance, Illinois. For instance, Iowa. In there are some unusual things that we do not understand. Oh, there were mounds built. And inside those mounds, historians of the past, or let's call them treasure hunters, have found gigantic bones of a human type of creature, and they have found things that are used by people. Call them pots, call them arrowheads, call them shields. All sorts of things are buried inside the mounds. But we have not hardly investigated them, but they did 100 and 200 years ago, and that's how we know that these things are in the mounds. One of them that is quite well known is called the Serpent Mound, because it kind of wiggles around. It's not in a straight line, but it is kind of in the shape of that a serpent would take. And so they call it the Serpent Mound. It's an evidence of a past civilization. Do we know what it was? No, we don't know. But we're pretty sure that it is not Native American, because Native American were relatively smaller people, but they are finding large bones in some of the burial areas. The bones would indicate that the people, or the giants, would be between 8 and 12 and even 15 feet high, tall, standing. So this is something that is going on with history. It indicates that there were a race of giants in the United States of America. The giants are also shown in bones in other locations, including at the Grand Canyon. There is a kind of a cave that is really a huge cavern, and it has, well, you can see the photographs that were taken like 100 years ago of giants, and even mummified remains. And it's something that, oh, it doesn't get much talk, but obviously there's things that are mysteries and we don't understand. And the archaeologists are not allowed to look into these places, and I don't know why. But it seems like there is an area of American history, and I mean North America, South and Central America too, but I'm talking about America right now, and so there are these areas of archaeology or areas of history that are not allowed to be examined. Even 100 years ago, 150 years ago, right in that neighborhood, there were these bones discovered, and the bones were taken away by the museum in New York. It's escaping me right now. But the bones were taken away and then somehow misplaced or lost or something. And so this has been going on for a long time, 100, 150 years, and we don't exactly know what the whole truth of any of it is. But we have testimonies from people who have seen this or seen that. And they're from all around the world, too. It's not just America. We have mysteries when there are things... I remember, it was in the mid-90s. I used to regularly buy American Archaeology magazine, and it had some of these things in it, which talked about, for instance, Roman coins in a sheltered, let's call it a cave-like cathedral structure in southern Illinois, right on the border of a couple of states there. And so this place had Roman coins, in a quantity of Roman coins from the first century, and it was unexplained how they would even get there. Yeah, how would you get Roman coins in the United States of America, Illinois? Not an easy thing. But these magazines had the pictures, had the descriptions, and somehow there are just not enough people interested in these things today. And we don't hear about them. Just like we don't hear about the skeletons in the Grand Canyon, or the skeletons in the Serpent Mound, or the mummified remains of giants, or anything else. And you have to wonder, well, if these things have been recorded in the past and there are photographic evidences and there are statements of people, how come we don't know about them today? Well, obviously, in my mind, I think of it as a conspiracy. And what is the conspiracy to keep from people today? Well, to me, it is that there have been giants in the past. And if there have been giants in the past, you could understand that the giants in the Bible would actually be true and factual. And it's just so hard to think of a 9-foot giant in the Bible. But they're written about, and there's 9-foot giants in American grave sites. So, yeah, we can understand it if we have some proof, and apparently there is proof. Why, there's even proof on the Isle of Sardinia off of the coast of Italy. It has been well known as a place where there were gigantic bones sometimes in a grave and sometime in a rock. I forgot what you call it. A rock structure. To protect the bones of some creature or person that was, 8, 10, 12 feet tall? Sometimes even 14 feet. And we can think, if there was a 10-foot creature today, or 12 or 14 feet, we know about the size difference that it gives a person if they are a foot taller than another person, or 2 feet taller than another person. So we can only imagine what this size difference would make in a physical struggle between men and giants. And we can think about that at David and Goliath, and why the soldiers in the army of Israel were afraid of Goliath and that army. Well, we kind of have to put things together, because it's not like we know that there is proof of this and that, but the skeletons of giants would make it easier to see that there was proof of giants, yes, living in America, and yes, giants living in the rest of the world. And if you look up, you can find information that talks about the giants in different places. You can even find the evidence of giants in the written records of various explorers from Spain, from France, from Portugal, who explored the Americas, North, Central, and South Americas, and they had written statements of in their journals, and they had drawings of giant-sized, let's call them people, but I don't think they were, but they were giants. So you can look up the writings of Coronado and De Soto and Cortez and Columbus. All these explorers recorded and drew pictures of the giants in North and South America, especially Central America too. But who do we hear that talks about that? Practically nobody. But it is available if you do listen, if you do search it out. But somehow, it's not something that is popular at all. Why don't we hear about the newspaper accounts from the late 1800s, early 1900s, that talk about giants and the bones of giants, or the war with giants, especially with the Native Americans? And the information is there, but we just don't search it out. Too bad, because it means we are missing a part of history that is there, but we don't search it out. We don't look for it. I think that if we knew there were giants, it would add validity to the discussion of giants in the Bible, and that's the best reason that I can see that a historical people, let's say modern-day people, would not want that known in history. So that's why I think we don't see it. There is a war against God and the truth of the Bible. And that makes me think of another person, an American archaeologist named Ron Wyeth. You can look him up. He's right there. He died, let's see, almost 20 years ago. But his work is described in video and in writing. An amazing archaeologist who discovered Noah's Ark, and he talks about how it was in the ground, how they mapped it out, how they could find the pieces of metal and the cross pieces of the ship, the boat, and that it matched the biblical size. The amazing thing that I recognize Ron Wyeth for is his discovery of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, it's one of those things which you can find fault. You can say, oh, no, he didn't. But you can also say this is the evidence to say that he did find the Ark of the Covenant. And it is there by his testimony. It is there by the evidence of other people who would say so. It is there by his example of blood being on the Ark of the Covenant. And he found above it a hole for the cross to go into. And then he found a crack in the rock that goes into the cave where he found the Ark of the Covenant. He found blood on the Ark of the Covenant, and he had it analyzed. The analyst said, this blood is impossible. It shows only a mother and no father. And that would be the way it would be if it was the blood of Jesus, who had a mother and the father was God. There would only be one parent. Well, this is one of those things you just better check out for yourself, because if you don't look for yourself, you won't have the evidence to say it is either true or untrue. But look up Ron Wyeth and listen to his talking. Listen to what he has to say himself. Now, I remember looking around for Ron Wyeth, and you would find people who talked about Ron Wyeth, and they talked about the Ark of the Covenant, and they talked about Noah's Ark, but they weren't Ron Wyeth. And I really urge you to listen to Ron Wyeth himself on video. One of the things about him, he was for certain a Christian. His testimony is so Christian. But the point of this is, or one of the points, is that he prayed diligently and asked God, why now was this coming to light? Why was the Ark of the Covenant found now? And he had an answer in his spirit that he said was a strong answer. And he said that it was to show people that the Ark of the Covenant is real and the Bible is real. So believe in a real truth, God, Jesus. And he said that it is approaching the time of the end where these discoveries would be shown to humanity, and humanity would have proof to either believe or not believe, and that would help to determine where they would spend eternity. You know what? I think I added that part to show where they would spend eternity. Ron Wyeth, I don't remember him saying that in his testimony. I said that. But the thing is look at Ron Wyeth's own personal testimony for what went on. It is remarkable. And Ron Wyeth was an amazing Christ-following person. Always, I say, pray and ask God for the understanding that he would give you. And that is in all cases, whether you are about to talk to a person or whether you are about to seek understanding about something of God, or whether you're about to talk to a person about God. Yes, ask God to direct you and guide you and help you with understanding. I so regularly pray to God before I read the Bible or before I think about what to put on a broadcast, and I say, Lord, guide me. Lord, direct me. And this is something which I think is good for each one of us. Show me the truth, Lord. Don't let me be misled. And let me fulfill your plan and your purpose for me, Lord, and give me the understanding that I need to speak. So you can do that when you talk to a person. How many times have I had just the few words to say in my quiet breath of speech? Oh, I make my lips move, but I don't know that anybody could hear it. But it is a conversation with God, and I like that, and I think about that when I read the Bible. I think about that when I talk with people. There are just so many things that we do, and I urge you to be a Christ follower. Of course, search that out. Make sure that there really is a Christ. Make sure that there is really a Bible, and it's true. And you have the testimony of so many people. You could have it of me saying it. You could have it of Ron Wyeth saying it. You could have so many pastors saying the same thing, and they will tell you their experiences that are amazing and how they came to God through Jesus Christ by something or another that really was beyond reality that we normally expect. But there it was. Of course, that happened to me too. Things that just happened, but it was beyond reality, more than you would expect. And there it was. It happened right in front of me, right in front of them, right in front of you too. All these things. And that's how God works, His miracles. Oh Lord, thank you for saving me. And Lord, thank you for your miracles. Well, we have all this information available at our fingertips, really. All we have to do is talk to our smartphone, and we can learn so much. It's the technology today is just so wonderful. But even so, so few of us will even search it out. Our smartphones and computers can give us so much information, but we just would rather do something else. We all make our choices. Is it going to be God or this world or something in the world? Are we going to search for Jesus? Are we going to understand the truth of the Bible? Or are we going to figure out how to make something or eat something or go out someplace and do something that we think is fun, but it does not have eternal value? We all make the choices that determine where our eternity will be. Do you think it's only a few words that say, Lord, I believe in you? Well, it was good enough for the man on the cross right next to Jesus. But I'm not sure that it's good enough for any of us. Do we have to demonstrate our faith? Well, not according to some. Some people say believe, and that's all you need. Okay, believe. Does that mean you say it with your mouth? Well, I know there's a lot of people who don't tell the truth in the world. And so they can call somebody Jesus. They can call somebody Lord. They can say, Lord, I believe in you. I don't know about that. I think that's something for you and God Jesus to have a conversation about. And I hope you do, because you want to always belong to God. And that means you go to Him for guidance and direction. And you follow Him even more than you follow your own understanding. That's what I think, but check it out. Look for your own self. Do what you think is right, because that is what will save you or not. Not what anybody has to say. Not what I have to say. Not what your pastor has to say. Well, maybe what your pastor has to say will make a difference, but it is still up to you to take the steps towards your foundation in Jesus Christ, faith, and obedience. Check it out. Read the Bible. It's all in there. Well, we do want to have understanding, and the way we get that is through study. That's what I see. We study the Word, we pray to God, and we act accordingly. There's so many times in history when people think that they are acting according to God's will, and they are not. What is love? How do we express God's love to other people? Well, we all have a little way of fooling ourselves and saying, oh, I'm showing love, when you really are not. I don't even know what to say about that. I just want you to be sure of it after you have asked yourself that question and determined, how do you truly show love? Why, there's lots of things in history that one side will say it was showing care and compassion, and the other side will say, no, you were taking advantage of us. And you say you care about the people's freedom, but look what you have done. You have made it so that this person or that person was actually enslaved. And I think about our founding fathers from about that time, where he talks about the people who proclaim the Constitution have to be a moral and a religious people. And I wonder, if we're not a moral and a religious people, does that mean we're going to lose our Constitution? Well, what does morality mean? What does religious mean? A lot of questions here. What does it mean to be a Christ follower? And I don't mean I'm going to tell you the answers. I mean you talk to God about it and you find out the answers from God. That's what I think, because we want to have our traditions, our tradition of godliness, of freedom. And that means we have to understand something about it. So let's do it. Let's seek God. Ask God what he would tell us to do. That's, I think, about the best thing we can do. Now on this day, we are getting close to the July 4th Independence Day. Independence from England, who we were a colony of. And we have some very wonderful history in the United States of America. And no, it's not perfect, but it sure is good. And when we look around and see how other countries are, we're very good. It just so happens that I have been to a few other countries, more than a few, and I know that in those countries there will often be military who are doing the function of police. They go through the streets. They help people, especially tourists. And they are always very well armed, at least with a rifle and a pistol, and that's what they do. Another interesting thing about other countries is they will have plainclothes police. And the way you know that they are authorized is they have this big old military rifle they're carrying around with them. And they often take on the air of authority and direct other people to do their jobs. But that's something that happens in other countries. We are grateful to not have military rule in this country, because we just don't know how it would turn out. Would it turn out good? After all, we have such good men in our military, but would it turn out to have them to be ruling over the laws of America? Well, I don't know. I wonder about it, because it's such a condition around the world in so many countries. There is a very different world out there beyond America. Thank you, Lord, for putting me here. I know the history of America is not perfect. I mean, I remember the Trail of Tears, that I think they were called the Five Civilized Tribes of the East Coast were relocated to, I think it's, can't remember. But they were relocated within the United States to the central United States. And there were 70,000 Native Americans that were relocated on that trail of tears. I don't think 10% died, but it was something like that. It was a sorrowful trip. And speaking about 10%, the history books tell us that 10% of those people traveling to the new land of where they were to resettle were black slaves. So 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 black slaves were owned by the Native Americans, and they were relocated along with the Native Americans. It's a part of history that we just don't seem to hear. We hear about the awful white slaveholders, but we just don't seem to hear about the black slaveholders, because there were some really large slaveholders that were black in the United States of America. It's just a part of our history, but it's something that is not talked about. But it's a fact, just like other parts of American history that I talked about today. And I think the giants is a big part of history that we don't know. And so is the Irish slavery that was in the United States. I know they were called indentured servants also. I don't know that I have enough understanding to say which were which, but I know that there was a lot of bad things that happened. And that's kind of all I want to say, is that history is not what we believe it to be, because we are told one thing or another. And as a history guy myself, I can only tell you I've read plenty of history books that I have found to be really, I'll call them lies. They are not history. They are presenting a philosophy which is not true history. Yeah, I've read it from my early college days until later on too. It's something we all have to be careful of, to understand what is true history and what is not. That's one of the things that is going on today with America and the World Wide Web and the United Nations, including the World Health Organization, that only truth will be spoken. Lots of luck with that, because they want to tell you what truth is. And I'm talking about our history, because it's not easy to know what history is true or not. And that's a little bit why I was talking about the giants in America, or the coins that came from Rome in the first century. It shows that there were boats going from here and from there. Well, we talk about America being discovered by Leif Erikson around 1000 A.D., when this is going to be a big discussion. Well, I just want to point out to you that the history we are taught is only a partial history, and it takes a real study to try to understand what the rest of history is that we don't know. And a lot of what we do to try to understand what will happen is to look at the old history and see what has happened, and then we can get a better idea of what might happen. And we know that there's a lot of things that are just plain not good in history, and they will continue if we do not strive to have the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And that's what we do. I know for me, I studied much of the early American history from the 1600s, 1700s, and there were people that were just plain decent people who wanted to spread the gospel to the rest of the world, and that was their real big desire. So we don't hear about them so much. We hear about the faults of the early American settlers. So there were faults. I don't mean there weren't, but we want to hold on to the best part of mankind that there is, and that includes the best part of us. How do we live the best life that we can live? Yes, through Christ Jesus, and yes, through compassion. It's just what we do. As I think of love your neighbor as you love yourself, I think that's a very important part of our Bible. Love God and love your neighbor. So we go ahead and get through life as we search for this and there's that, and yeah, there's a lot to learn, and there's even things that we find out that we are wrong about and that we have to go back and correct. And we're not perfect. People are not perfect. History is not perfect. But we have something that we want to promote and propose, which is Jesus Christ, who is perfect. And that's something that we can learn more about as we search out and understand the Bible. It's what we want to do. We want to learn about the Holy Spirit and God the Father. You know, one thing about the Holy Spirit is sometimes we get a word from God, and it makes me think of in the past, I've had one, and I've had somebody tell me they just had a word from God, and they said, God told me this about you, John. And, well, I just want you to know that completely in my experience, I have found that the Holy Spirit speaks to people, and the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. So I remember a man praying something about me, and he said the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said something. Well, I'm glad that he didn't speak about the sin in my life, but he did speak something that was for me to know and for me to be instructed about. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman who only talked about the good part and did not speak about something that would embarrass me. And I think that is something to remember about the Holy Spirit, about how our action ought to be as we go through life to live faithfully to God Jesus. Yes, as we trust God completely, and learn about him. And that's the wonderful thing about the Bible, is we learn about God. How wonderful. We learn his character, we learn his nature, we learn what eternity will be like with God. Thank you, Lord. Yes. And I sometimes think about what is going to happen in the future. I get concerned about the future too, because I know what people are capable of doing or not doing. Yeah, I get concerned sometimes. And I know there's plenty of people who get concerned also. I was having a conversation with people at church just last Sunday, and they were concerned about what they needed to do to prepare. Well, what do we do in case we have trouble? Well, we keep our bodies alive and healthy so that we can talk about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What do we need show that love? Well, a part of what we need to do is have a life that stays alive and that we can show the love of Christ to other people, share with them, whether it's our food or our warm clothes or the good news of the gospel. There is something that we can share, and I think that's what we do as best that we know how. We share the good news, the virtue, and the principles that we understand. That's a part of what missionaries do. And I like to think that we are missionaries, whether it's to one person, one family, our neighbors, or our church or part of the city or another country. I like to think that we are missionaries and that we have something to say that is good and godly. Godly, yes. What does the Bible say? The Bible is godly. How do we care for other people? Well, in different ways. And I think that's something we can always pray about as we search out understanding. Because we do have a history that indicates our future. And when we look at our history, we know that it's not perfect. But we also know that we can have a good history in the future as we seek what we can know. I think about the World Economic Forum talking about a grid down situation that is going to be next. They have been practicing for it. They have been practicing for another worldwide epidemic. Will that happen? It might. And so what are we going to do to show the love of Jesus to other people like our neighbor? Well, we can look at examples in the past. Yes, sometimes they will be in literature, sometimes they will be in movies, and sometimes they will be biblical examples that we say, yes, Lord, I see, and I can show the love of Christ to other people because of what I have seen, what you have taught me. So, Lord, thank you. Be with us in the coming days and the things that are coming upon the world, which are kind of concerning. And all we can do is think about what's coming and say, what can I do to prepare? If we do have that grid down situation that the World Economic Forum is talking about, grid down is very serious. There are people that have said that 90% of the people will die if there is a grid down. Well, I want you to know I read the report that they are citing. It is 65 to 90% of the people will die within a year. Well, maybe that's true. Maybe. A lot of people will lose hope if we don't have what we normally eat, if we don't have a car that we can drive like we always have. A lot of people will lose hope, and that will cause a discouragement. But I think let's have the encouragement that God gives us through Jesus Christ. And we have July 4th right around the corner, and that is a day of celebration. Let us remember to have celebration in our heart and in our mind about the wonderful blessings that we have through Jesus Christ. And yes, our country has problems, and I know, but what we're going to spread the good news and the love of Jesus and not worry too much about the problems. Maybe that's a subject for another day, but for just remembering the blessings that we have, the good news of God through Jesus Christ, that's what we can concentrate on. And I sure wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful time of the year as we enjoy the blessings that we have received from the goodness of God. And I pray for God's blessings on all of the people, and the ones who are listening especially. God bless you. Thank you for listening today. If you want to hear other broadcasts, it's at www.christtoday.org. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.